It's a great chance to be here in this fantastic place. Thank you very much for the invitation. However, you can really recognize that I'm in the worst position among four of us because all other speakers gave themselves a very cardiology-oriented subject, leaving with me a very hematology-oriented topic. So I have to excuse myself by saying that this presentation is going to be a very cardiology-oriented, and I think this is the best way to deal with this complex subject. Discussing the problem of iron in terms of heart failure, iron deficiency, I would like to tell you a little bit about importance of iron, about iron metabolism, and finally, moving towards iron deficiency and heart failure, pointing out about a burden, we called it burden of iron deficiency in heart failure, and finally giving you some hints how to diagnose iron deficiency in patients with heart failure, which is not easy as you see, and even more importantly, not established yet. Let me summarize why iron is important. First, because it is essential for growth and survival. Iron is required for transport of electrons, donating and accepting electrons. It's important as a transportation and storage of oxygen, respectively being an important part of hemoglobin and myoglobin. That's we take for granted once iron is discussed. We always are trying or attempted towards relating iron deficiency with anemia. And today I'm going to tell you that iron deficiency in heart failure is not necessarily related to anemia, and it has more consequences than only anemia in patients with chronic heart failure. Moving to importance of iron. Iron is important because it is involved in cell respiration, in the whole process of oxidative phosphorylation and oxidative metabolism. And finally, it is a part of a numerous enzymes and proteins crucial for many processes, including DNA synthesis. However, we all need to be very careful because we need to agree and recognize that iron is insoluble and excess can be toxic simply because iron has got the ability to catalyze the formation of free radicals and generated oxidative stress. Moving forwards, discussing the importance of iron, we need to look carefully at the several stages of so-called iron deficiency. If there is only a tiny iron deficiency with a little bit of depletion of iron stores, there is nothing regarding in terms of functional consequences. However, if we have the hemoglobin affected, which is probably one of the most important and the earliest part of the whole story, we obviously have a so-called iron deficiency, erythropoiesis, leading us to anemia. However, at the later stage, or maybe at the middle kind of stage, we have also periphery affected. And at the periphery, as I said, we have musculature, we have cytochromes, we have all this oxidative metabolism impaired, and then we have impaired delivery at the periphery and also impaired oxidative capability of the peripheral muscle. And finally, if we have severe iron deficiency, several clinical consequences are seen, and for us today, exercise tolerance is probably one of the most important. I would like to put your attention that actually, as I already mentioned, iron deficiency is not only anemia related. This is this pathway we always are tempted to, once iron is considered, we always consider iron as a part of oxygen carrying capacity in hemoglobin. However, we need to be aware that iron deficiency affects tissue oxidative capacity, and both these parallel processes are finally resulting in impaired exercise capacity, like in terms of decreased work capacity, oxygen consumption, and even endurance, so submaximal tolerance. If we are discussing exercise tolerance, we always need to remember that for the proper exercise tolerance, tuned integration between ventilation, circulation, and the peripheral musculature is of a key importance. And actually, as you can clearly see here, iron deficiency, either at the level of circulation and at the level of the musculature, may play an important role. This is still kind of a theoretical background, and the natural question is, do we have an evidence for this? Yes, And you would be very surprised looking into literature for how long this evidence already exists in the literature. And the natural question is, if this is not only anemia, can we have any evidence that it is something more? And again, I would try to mention this exercise intolerance. These two parts, these two papers are really related to anemia. However, this is quite important sentence, which is in the medical publication for already 40 years, that if we have a patient with iron deficiency and anemia, iron repletion, in those anemic subjects confirms beneficial effects which are not necessarily only related to changes in hemoglobin. However, the subject is extremely controversial. It's not clear, because the problem is whether iron deficiency with normal hemoglobin level may have any consequences in terms of impaired exercise tolerance. And we have several different reports. This is one of the probably oldest, showing that actually if we have an experiment in which we have iron deficiency in normal hemoglobin level, returning from decreased hemoglobin level, neither time to exhaustion, neither maximal oxygen capacities is changed compared to the baseline level. However, again, we have also several papers showing that actually even those with iron deficiency and pretty normal hemoglobin level, we are discussing so-called healthy humans, tended to have or may have impaired exercise tolerance. What about iron metabolism? Very brief description. Two very important messages. Human body consists between 35 to 45 milligrams of iron per kilogram of body weight. And this is quite important message. There is no physiological pathway for iron excretion. So iron taken in the food must be excreted. And this is a very, very complex relationship, numerous mechanisms. In the blood, iron is bound to transferrin. There are two major parts of the iron in the body. Iron used for the utilization, most of which is actually in the used for the production of the red blood cells. Around 400 milligrams there are either in the musculature or in other tissues. And there is so-called storage iron, which is either in the liver or in the very important part of the body, which is reticuloendothelial macrophages. And in this part, iron is bound to ferritin. Ferritin is a molecule which is binding iron. And as you can clearly see here, although serum ferritin as such contains very little iron, but serum ferritin is a very good indicator of overall iron storage in the body. This is fairly important for us in the future discussion how to diagnose iron deficiency. So iron deficiency not only in terms of anemia, but also how to diagnose iron deficiency in terms of the depletion of iron stores in the body. This is fairly tricky business because you probably know that ferritin is actually acute phase reactant, which is increasing all these inflammatory stages, for example, in heart failure, which makes the whole story regarding the diagnosis even more and more complex. One important issue, however, absolutely not yet investigated in heart failure, hepcidin. Hepcidin is a small molecule produced by hepatocyte, and it looks like hepcidin is a key regulator of iron metabolism. It has been well documented that inflammatory stimuli via interleukin-6 pathway produces hepcidin. Hepcidin actually blocks both intestinal iron absorption and blocks macrophage iron release. This is fairly important because in heart failure, as you know very well, there is a pro-inflammatory, or heart failure syndrome can be labeled as a pro-inflammatory state. There are two very nice and very important, in my mind, papers from the same group. In both of these papers, there is a clear evidence that there is relationship between inflammatory stimuli and iron metabolism. The first paper shows that IL-6 infusion increases urinary hepcidin and finally decreases serum iron in humans. And this is even more important. I'm happy that Stefan is with us because for the first time ever, a few years ago, I remember this very well, he was able to show that actually patients with chronic heart failure, particularly those with edematous heart failure, they tend to have a very high level of endotoxin. Maybe not septic, sort of, but elevated level of endotoxin. And we can hear very clear evidence from the experiment in humans, in healthy humans, that endotoxin causes actually rapid development of the decrease in serum iron via increase or triggering inflammatory reaction. At the same time, you have a very sharp and rapid and quick increase in urine hepcidin in the subject. So we can only speculate that those with severe heart failure, those with pro-inflammatory stats, maybe those with the decompensated heart failure, they tended to have a high endotoxin level. They tended to have a high stimuli or quite potent stimuli for hepcidin, and it finally tends to a severe impairment in iron metabolism. It has not been tested at all in patients with chronic heart failure. So we move forward. A few sentences about low and high hepcidin. We also heard about high hepcidin, that actually hepcidin binds to a new newly developed ferroportin molecule and induces degradation, and iron release is actually absolutely blocked and decreased from reticuloendothelial system. What about pathophysiology of iron deficiency in syndrome of chronic heart failure? Obviously, it is related to anemia, but it is not related to the so-called pure iron deficiency anemia, which we may know from the FALI subjects. In heart failure, as Professor Dexter already alluded to, we have a process called anemia of chronic disease. And this is actually what we expect to see in patients with chronic heart failure in terms of iron metabolism. We see sort of not depleted stored, but preserved adequate stores of iron. However, the utilization of iron is impaired due to inflammatory, that's our hypothesis, due to inflammatory stimuli and hepcidin. And finally, it can be characterized by the reduced concentration of serum iron, transferrin, and total iron binding capacity, even higher elevated serum ferritin level, and obviously decreased level of hemoglobin. This is commonly observed in patients with malignancies, with chronic diseases, including heart failure. This is a simple graph showing you actually that iron deficiency plays a very important role in the pathophysiology of this anemia of chronic diseases via inflammatory changes, via oxidative stress, and probably also via hepcidin. It affects bone marrow milieu and finally leading to erythropoietin hyperresponsiveness. I'm happy that Professor Svedberg is with us. We can address this question why, actually, simple, or it may well be expected that a simple solution by giving those with anemia of chronic disease only erythropoietin may well not be enough in patients with chronic heart failure. Obviously, Professor Drexler mentioned malnutrition and also renal dysfunction, finally giving us the full picture of impaired responsiveness to erythropoietin leading to anemia. What is also important, we need to be aware that anemia of chronic disease, in which iron deficiency plays a very important role, is fairly common cause of anemia and heart failure. This is a fairly old paper, maybe not old, but anemia is now a very, very hot subject. So this paper is has been published 4 years ago from Luigi Tavazzi group, showing that about 50% of all causes of anemia are so-called anemia in heart failure, so-called anemia of chronic disease. You can see that pure iron deficiency, depletion of iron stores, what we tended to understand or recognize as a real anemia due to iron deficiency is present in only 5%. But if we look all together, iron deficiency for erythropoiesis, either due to so-called functional or absolute deficiency, is present in about 70% of all causes of anemia. So it's fairly common. We investigated 175 patients with stable heart failure, and we actually discovered something which we may call burden of iron deficiency in heart failure. First of all, this is the definition. I'm going to comment on this definition soon. It's not a single kind of a parameter used for this to define iron deficiency, so it's not based only on serum ferritin. This is more or less functional iron deficiency, but we discovered that about 40% of patients are iron deficient. And the following we found the following predictors. So those with severe heart failure tended to be iron deficient. Those with low GFR, those with elevated or activated neuroendocrine system as evidenced by high NT-proBNP, those with high CRP level, so pro-inflammatory state again, and finally those who tended to have a high ventilatory drive as evidenced by VEVCO2. All these four, all these five, are obviously not only predictors of iron deficiency, but the predictors of the ominous outcome of all of heart failure patients. Quite recently, I'm sorry for this not very clear slide, quite recently, actually on Friday, trying to catch the deadline for European Society of Cardiology submission, we came up with the idea that burden of iron deficiency in heart failure is also related to anabolic deficiency. We published together with Philip and Stephanie a study in which we shown that anabolic deficiency is an ominous sign in heart failure. However, here we have the very clear evidence that those with low total testosterone, they tended to have a more prevalent and more evident status of iron deficiency, and particularly patients who are anemic and who are at the same time iron deficient, they have a very low level of total testosterone. And last but not least, which is very important for our future studies, to replete iron in those who are iron deficient. This is the observation we derive from our population, that actually functional iron deficiency is associated with poor quality of life and exercise intolerance. And even more importantly, we have this follow-up extended up to 3 years now and actually validated in another population. So derived from one population and validated into another population, we have a clear information that this is a predictor of a poor outcome. So last three minutes, I'm going to discuss about diagnosis. Again, I am not a hematologist. I was learned as a medical student and that iron deficiency diagnosis should be based on the low ferritin level and everything would be fine because it is in the population without inflammatory state. If you have a stage 2 iron deficiency with anemia, it's very simple. You base the definition of depleted iron stores reflected by a low serum ferritin. However, as I already mentioned, ferritin is acute phase reactant, and in patients with pro-inflammatory state, it can be very, very tricky. Therefore, the concept of so-called functional versus absolute iron deficiency has been developed. And in heart failure, we can have both. We can have functional iron deficiency and we can so-called absolute iron deficiency. And for absolute iron deficiency, we are certain this may well be due to inadequate iron intake and chronic blood loss. And diagnostic criterion is simple, low or lowish ferritin level. However, we have here also functional iron deficiency due to, as I already said, chronic inflammatory drive and renal or renal dysfunction, and diagnostic criteria will be slightly broadened. On the top of this low ferritin level, normal ferritin plus low TSAT should be used. This is probably a matter for discussion, and I leave this for the discussion at the end of this presentation. If we look at what actually hematologists are using, cardiologists would be very upset with all these parameters because we don't even understand what they mean. However, the simple message which I try to actually understand for all these papers is that apart from this serum biomarkers, we may use also hemoglobin evaluation either in reticulocytes or in the already mature red blood cells, giving us the idea that there is a iron-restricted erythropoiesis. Again, this is not validated in patients with chronic heart failure. It may well be in future trials. This is a quite important study, last two slides, showing in the dotted line that the diagnosis of iron deficiency in patients with elevated inflammatory drive may well be very difficult. They base their diagnosis on ferritin level. They developed kind of a ratio between ferritin and soluble transferrin receptors, which is another part of this discussion we would be very happy to extend. And as you can clearly see, area under curve in this both situation is fairly low, and they led these authors to develop a very complex kind of approach using hemoglobin in reticulocytes, using so-called ratio between serum transferrin receptors and log ferritin. I doubt that it would be ever used in the clinical trials and in clinical settings, but I'm going to show you that actually it gives the more or less a picture that if you move from normal erythropoiesis to anemia and from the normal iron status to iron depletion, you have this kind of a scenario when both the content of hemoglobin in the reticulocytes and this ratio between soluble transferrin receptors and ferritin is decreased. So again, it needs to be prospectively validated. So, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, if I need to conclude, I need to say that iron is a key part of the numerous biological processes. Iron metabolism is abnormal in many chronic diseases, including syndrome of heart failure. And I think that cardiologists are becoming more and more aware not only of anemia. As Professor Glexer said, probably it would be even less than 50% aware of iron deficiency or importance of iron deficiency. However, we need to continue with the awareness process. For this, we need the more and more prospectively defined and validated laboratory criteria to define, to pick these patients from the whole cohort of heart failure subjects. Thank you very much.